morning, everyone. So we've been talking about rut zone, the idea of what is our goal, what is our interest, what motivates us. And today we're going to focus on one small passage, a citation here from the Chazon Ish. But to think about that and to appreciate it, we should take a step back. So there is a volume, there is a very important collection of writings called Oros HaKodesh. Oros HaKodesh is a collection of little tiny paragraphs, you could say, little thoughts that are edited and put together in these three books. They are the thoughts, the insights of Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. Now, Rav Cook wrote many Svarim. This collection called Oros HaKodesh is it's a very interesting work because it's a collection of handwritten notebooks that Rav Cook made his own spiritual mental notes, so to speak. Several of these were, if you can imagine, they're very, I don't know what the size of them like, but if you remember when, if you've ever been to Israel, when you go to Israel, the paper there, like many other things, is just a little bit different, let's just say. So they have these little chovrot, these little notebooks. So Rav Cook had several notebooks that he wrote, personal notebooks that he wrote. He wrote three of them when he was in Yafo, and then when he was in Europe. After Rav Cook came to be the rabbi of Yafo, he traveled in 1914 to Europe, and then he got stuck there. He was in Switzerland, and he was in England for several years because of World War I. And he took these personal notebooks, and he jotted down his own spiritual musings, I guess you could call them. And they're very, very deep. He had a Talmud, a close disciple of his, whose name was Rav David Cohen, Rav David HaCohen, who was a Nazir. He's just known as the Nazir. If you ever see a picture, you can Google a picture of the Nazir. It's the real deal, like the hair and and he was also a vegetarian, very interesting person. So the Nazir was tasked by Rav Cook to take his personal notebooks and publish them. And that's what became Oros HaKodesh. So in Oros HaKodesh, in the third volume, Rav Cook has a whole section of little pieces all about Ratzon, which itself is probably worth, you know, many, many hours of exploration and shiurim. The section is called HaRatzon HaKlali HaPoel. And Rav Cook has a Ha'ara here, which will frame this comment of the Chazon Ish, but also will identify, I think, what is one of the challenges for us in developing our Ratzon. So Rav Cook lays out, just at the beginning, the idea that you can't imagine or you can't grasp or really get to the depths of what our Ratzon really is without thinking about the broader Ratzon of the world, which is a very transcendent Rav Cook idea, that there is a Ratzon in the world, in the totality of existence, which is a lot for like your average Monday morning when you're just getting started, like we just had coffee and it's like. But Rav Cook has this idea that b'chol ha'havaya kula, in entirety of existence, there is a ratzon. There is a drive that godliness and meaning should be expressed. That's one way of saying it. Hofos ratzon ribon kol olamim, and that is going to express itself in lots of different ways in other places in Rav Cook's writings about the role of God in history and the development of, you know, new scientific revelations. All of these things have to do with the expression and the revelation of the ruts, the ultimate deep ratzon that Hashem has that is always flowing into the world. It's a nonstop ratzon. So each one of us, our ratzon fits into this ratzon. So far, so good. Very esoteric. Hard to put a finger. Yeah.
Is it Hashem's ratzon or the world's ratzon?
So that's a good question. So I'm not sure, but I'll tell you what it sounds like.
Okay.
The idea is that the Ribono Shel Olam, he created this world by somehow absenting himself from the existence, because the Ribono Shel Olam is Or Ein Sof. the Ribbono Shel Olam is endless. So how could it be that there is anything beyond the Ribbono Shel Olam? So he somehow, in a way that we don't really understand, at least I don't understand, unless you understand real deep Kabbalah, there's something called Tzimtzum, where Hashem Yisbarach constricted himself and he made a little space for us. But within that space, there is a goal, there is a purpose, that space should invite Hashem back in. Right? He created a vacuum so that we could fill it. That's the purpose of existence. So Hashem wants the world to be filled with Kedusha, with godliness, with the source of everything, with that original endless light. That's what he wants. So in the creation, you also have that same light reflected. You have that same idea that built into the world is that the world wants to go back. The existence of everything, it's like a, you know, it's a push-pull. The Ribbono Shel Olam took himself out. Well, that means that there is the equal and opposite force that wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come back in. Or God narrated it such that he's going to let this story play out in a certain way, but ultimately it's going to come to its ultimate fulfillment. He's the I don't know what you call it, the producer or the director. I don't know the difference between those. But there's, you know, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates everything that it should come back to its original unity, the unity of godliness in the world. So that orchestration, maybe, we could say is the Ratzon. That there is this movement in the world over the course of centuries and then millennia that the world is ultimately going to achieve its fulfillment. That movement could reflect, that Rav Kook talks about in a different place in Orot and at great length, that movement could also be called this idea of Ratzon. So here, I think, is at least the first challenge. I'm not sure how many people, I know I don't experience this, maybe some other people do, how many people wake up and they look at their to-do list or they look at their phone and they're thinking, okay, what is the ultimate rut zone of existence today? Right? And even if you have that as a message on your phone, like that, I don't know. First of all, that's amazing. But I think we have, and this is where this piece from the Chazon Ish is going to come in, we, I think, struggle with the opposite problem. Whereas, yes, Rav Kook is very much on the extreme in terms of being ethereal and high and spiritual, I think there's the opposite problem. It's not a problem, it's the reality that we are constantly dealing with so many pratim, so many details. And we struggle on a day-to-day basis just to manage through the details, just to catch everything. We have so many balls in the air that our goal on any given day is when we go to bed is to feel like, okay, we didn't drop too many balls today. Like, everybody who's supposed to be taken care of is taken care of, and so sometimes that means worrying about our children, worrying about our parents, worrying about our friends or our bank account or whatever it is. We have so many specific balls to manage that we're not anywhere close to Rav Kook and Oros HaKodesh. We're nowhere near there, but we're also not even anywhere near the basic Ratzon that we talked about in the past of what do we want to accomplish in life? What is our individual Ratzon? Because we're so focused on just managing through the day and trying to accomplish the myriad of things that we have in front of us. So these two poles I want to put out there as we think about this Chazon Ish. Okay, the ideal of Rav Kook on one side and the practical challenge on the other side. So here we have a section from the Chazon Ish. For those who are not familiar, the Chazon Ish was a really very singular, outstanding Torah giant. He died in the early 1950s. He originally was recognized in Vilna before the war. In the 1930s, he made Aliyah, and he lived in Bnei Brak. He was not a Rosh Yeshiva. He was just a giant. He was a solitary giant. People came to him from all over the Israel and all over the world, and his influence in the realm of Halacha is, his imprint is everywhere on all aspects of Torah, especially the ones that are often ignored by traditional learning, even the aspects of Kachim and Taharos. he writes on everything. He also has a tiny little volume called Emuna and Bitachon. Very important work. So in this slim, tiny volume compared to the voluminous works on Halacha called Chazon Ish. His name was Chazon Ish. It wasn't his name. His mother didn't call him that. But his Sefer is called Chazon Ish because his name was Avram Yeshaya. So Aleph Yud Shin sounds like Avram Yeshaya. So that's why it was called Chazon Ish. So he says, line 20 here on the page, Torah Hamidos, the Torah of Midos, Hamidu Chachme Hayira Leperek Miuchad B'Shleimus HaAvoda. The sages who have developed, who have worked on cultivating the Yira, our it literally means awe, have designated for this its whole entire self-standing chapter in Shleimus Avoda, in the fullness of our serving of Hashem. And not only that, Va'av Shaktu Aleihem Liforkam Lamidos Mispar. They also worked hard to delineate separate chapters among this subset of character development to distinct midos. Kamo, for example, what do we have on this list? Kas. What's kas? Thank you. Anger, gaiva, hubris, tava, desire, avas hakavod, seeking out honor, avas hanitzuach, which is another interesting idea, that a person wants to be immortalized. Avas hanitzuach, person wants to be famous or immortalized. It's not often talked about in the world of midos, but there is that element. It's interesting. Nekama, revenge, tsaras ayin, stinginess of the eye, being looking at somebody else with a jaundiced eye negatively. V'chayotzibo, umerov hahergel. And because we are so accustomed to this, nikba b'lev rabim, people think shebe'emes, in truth, hashlemus, wholeness, he balas evorim nifradim, is comprised of different limbs. It's a composite. You can go online. The University of Pennsylvania has a whole wing or a center of positive psychology. It's very, very useful. The founder of modern positive psychology is a guy by the name of Martin Seligman from Penn. So he has there one of the really useful tools that are free you can use is something called a values and actions test, where you fill out a questionnaire. I've done this many times together with the Kollel Fellows during the beginning of the year, and it's a really interesting self-exploration tool. You fill out a questionnaire of many questions, and it reflects back to you afterwards, what are your top strengths? I think it's 24 strengths. They give you your top all the way till number 24. So the Chazon Ish says we could fill out a questionnaire that gives us our strength test, and we could feel that each of these are separate, distinct, individual strengths, which in some respect they are. So it'll talk about creativity and ingenuity and grit and different strengths that a person has. He says, interestingly, we're still on line 23. Va'amnam, however, ze'emes mitzad choli. Only a sick person thinks like that. Mitzad choli hanefesh, umitzad ma'areches hakarev keneged mashchisus. It's a terrible way of looking at things. Va'amnan, what is it, aval? Bishorsham, at their shorish, at their root, ein kan rak mida achas tova umida achas ra. Interestingly, the Chazon Ish suggests that these 24 or 13 or 10, whatever number of character traits you're going to identify, you can't look at them as distinct. They're all integrated. You have to look at them in a holistic picture as one value, one mida, either a mida tova or a mida ra. He says they're only one mida. Hamida hara, so let's go to line 25. What does he mean? Hamida hara, the negative trait, hi hahaznacha es hachayim hativim al mahalcham hativi. What is the natural life? The natural life is a person who is selfish, right? When a child is born, everything is about me. Our kids are always just focused on giving me and taking care of me and doing for me. He says, if you leave a person just in their natural state, it's hasnachas hachaim. It's just living life passively in its natural state. Line 26, uveli kol hishtadlus, and without any effort, without refining ourselves, without, think about a child, teaching a child how to share and to think about other people and to think about consequences. Otherwise, we would eat everything that was right in front of us all the time. So we have to teach ourselves how to train ourselves beyond that impulsive nature. You know what's going to happen? Yeah, look at the end of line 26, beginning of line 27. A great line. Yeah, ka'asan mitsuyan. You'll be awesome at being a furious, angry person. You'll be a great angry guy. No kei mitsuyam, you'll be perfect at revenge. Leave yourself alone in the natural state, you'll be really good at taking revenge from people. Ga'e mitsuyan, v'chein hala. You won't be missing anything of all your midos throws. You will be a superlative bad guy. Lo yechzar lo mikol midos ros, shemanu chacham u'uma. What is the opposite? 29. V'amida tova hi. The good midah, he haskama hamuchletes, it is the firm choice. Levaker, him here comes from the shorish of bechor, to prioritize. Levaker es hashorish hamusari, to prioritize the ethical choice, al regesh hataavoni, over the gut desirous choice. My feeling, my gut instinct is to cut that person down, is to take revenge, is to send that snarky text. That's my gut feeling because it's going to make me feel good to give them a shtickle zetz, you know? But my musari, my ethical voice inside says, it's not right. So the ability to prioritize the ethical voice over the gut, he says that uminikuda zuhu lochim neged kol midos yachros yachad. That one priority of choosing what's right over what feels good in the moment, that is the one mida that captures everything. Veloi tachein. So now says the Chazon Ish, a very extreme formulation. Veloi tachein. It is not possible. I'm on line 30 at the end. Shetia haskamazu, line 31, lachatzoin. He says it's not possible that this should be half-hearted. Or chatzi means literally half, like we'd say in America, you would say half-baked. It can't be half-baked. It's either yes or no. It's binary. That's the way the Chazon Ish presents it. Either we're doing the right thing, or we're not. We're prioritizing the musar, or we're not. He says, "Shezeh isha she'or haseichel, the light of the intellect, uskulas hanefesh, and the treasure of the soul, hekitzu, awakens the person, v'yashpiu alav lebechiras hatov, and therefore who shoif b'shah tova, he always seeks lebeli letov beli mitzarim." And the only thing that drives this person, ve'ino roesov lenafsho b'chol hatov sheyaseh, he doesn't think about anything else, she doesn't think about anything else, except for this goal of elevating our mind, what we know is right, what is ethical, over what feels good, the immediate selfish gratification. That is what the Chazon Ish presents here. You're giving me a funny face.
Yeah, because we're all in the middle. I mean, it's not binary. It's we're all trying, and then we're all failing, and then we're trying, and then we're failing. So how does that make it?
So I read this Chazon Ish, and I'm like, I'm thinking what you're thinking. Like, what does that mean? There is a French philosopher or writer. I don't know how to pronounce his name, so I'm not even going to try. It's like a Rosefolt or something like that. He has a line. I once heard it quoted from Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadav Kadosh Levracha, that hypocrisy is the, what was the line? Is the tribute that vice pays to virtue. Something like that. Sometimes it's okay to be a hypocrite because if we're not okay with that tribute of hypocrisy, we're never going to get anywhere. So this Chazon Ish lands us in this challenge, which is what we kind of started with. That on the one hand, what the Chazon Ish is saying, and the reason why Rav Volbin is bringing this, of course, in the paragraph, in the context of Ratzon, is because what the Chazon Ish is saying is that it all comes back to having that single-minded focus, that desire, that motivation, that goal. And if that goal informs everything that we do, so then that's going to determine every choice that we make and every text that we send and every conversation that we have and every attitude that we have. It's everything. And so what does Rav Volbin say in the next line? All our avod is l'chazik tamidas haratzon. It's to strengthen our ratzon, which is true. But on the other hand, we live in a world, the reality of our life is so fragmented that it's not, at least in my experience, I can't speak for anybody else, it's not so simple to say either we're all in or we're nothing. It's either we have the Ratzon or we don't have the Ratzon. So Rav Kook has this idea later on, which he talks about the notion of the Ritzonos HaPratiyim and how they relate to the Ratzon HaKlali. The word Prati means particular, and Klali means collective. So I wonder if, at least from my understanding or the way that I'm thinking about this, this could be totally wrong, and the Chazon Ish could be looking down at us and saying, this is a disaster. But I think there has to be some way in our lives to navigate these two poles. I don't think it's by accident. The Chazon Ish doesn't deny that we particularize each of these midos, that each one has its place. What the Chazon Ish is saying is that at their shoresh, at their source, they're all one, doing the right thing. So I'm wondering if the way to navigate this is the way similar to the way the Rav Kook articulates in a certain way, that there are the pratim and then there's the klali, which is that if we have both of these in mind, we recognize that there is a goal of strengthening, of harnessing, of developing the Ratzon HaKlali, the ultimate goal, that we know that there is one Ratzon, our individual Ratzon, that's part of the much bigger Ratzon of godliness of the world. That's our goal. And we're going to see our steps to developing that in these individual channels. And in that way, we can be Mekayim the Chazon Ish, and we can also live normally. Meaning, if a person really felt that it was all or nothing, then a person could be, they could be totally lost because they feel like, you know, they fail at one in one area. So then obviously it means, but if we understand that the same way that Rav Kook describes that the ratzon of humanity, of the world, of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world is developing over time, so our ratzon is also developing over time. Our goal is to get to that strong, inner, singular, unified Ratzon that's going to determine everything. But that's not always so simple. So it's not, I don't think it's such a terrible thing to say, look, we're going to make a menu of all of these issues that we can identify, Kas, Gaiva, Taiva, Avasakavo, Nitzuach, etc. And we're going to figure out what are those challenges of mine? What am I struggling with? Where do I want to work on? And where does that lacuna, where is that lacking, where is that missing piece coming from? Well, I have a ratzon and I want to strengthen that ratzon. I have a shorish of one ratzon. I really want to be the best person that I can become. You know, they say from Rav Palm that if you want to figure out whether something is puts you in a place of simcha, ask the person the next day. Right? So maybe yesterday, maybe I had too many meatballs. So I felt like that was a good choice at the time, but maybe the next day you feel like it's not such a good choice. So, you know, how do we think about our steps to that ratzon? Where is it coming from? Right? So making choices and then reflecting on them and realizing afterwards, very often when we make these choices, we know deep down what our ratzon is. We know we want to do the right thing. And very often, in the moment, it's hard to think about it. But later on, as in the case of the meatballs, we realize that was not, it's just not the right choice. We know it in ourselves. That comes from the inner ratzon. Because we have an inner ratzon that wants to do the right thing. After we slam the phone down, we say to ourselves, first of all, we usually feel like, ah, we got him. You know, we got him. And then usually about 10 minutes later, that little ratzon that says, what kind of person do we want to become? We look at ourselves sheepishly in the mirror or in the rearview mirror or to the person in the passenger seat or in the driver's seat, depending on who's driving. And if we're honest with ourselves, we say, that's not really the ratzon that we have inside. And the takeaway from this Chazon Ish is to realize that all of these struggles that we have when we lose patience with people and we don't daven with kavana or we don't make time for the important things in life, they all come from the same point, which is we're not where we want to be yet. Because where we want to be is just to be the best that we can, to be the best I, the best nitzotz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he put in my guf, the best that I can become. And he doesn't put it in there if he didn't think he could do it. So we have that ability. And so what we need to do, perhaps, is to say, okay, I hear what the Chazon Ish is saying. I want to strengthen my inner ratzon, and my steps to doing that are going to be to take each one of these things just separately, one thing at a time. A person tries to take everything at one time. It's so beyond overwhelming. It's mamash lo shayach. I mean, unless you're a saint, gesundheit, hate. If you can accomplish all these mitzvos and tackle them in one day, and by the time you put your head on the pillow tonight, you feel like, I conquered all, I have my inner ratzon aligned with the ratzon of Hashem, and we're ready to go tomorrow, it's totally solved, then I tip my cap. But I think the reality is that the way that we can look at this Chazon Ish is to say, the recognition is, the key is to recognize that these individual areas that we want to fix in our lives come to something deeper, to the unified ratzon that we're trying to establish for ourselves. And that unified ratzon, says Rav Kook, taps into the universal ratzon of what Hashem Yisparach wants from the development of the world. So it's not that we are only, you know, focused on the ethereal, because that wouldn't get us anywhere, but it's not that we're saying that we only care about kas, and the kas has nothing to do with our struggle in a different area. All of these things are integrated. And as we are able to refine each aspect, so then we realize on this journey that we are coming closer to the inner ratzon and that they're all interrelated. It doesn't mean that we have to tackle them all at once practically, because Vaharaya, the sages, the great people who led the way did give it to us in little pieces because they know that's what we can handle. That's how we're going to go through the path. But I think the idea of the Chazon Ish is to recognize that as we address each one of them, what that's really doing is actually strengthening our overall ratzon. That when we accomplish, when we don't get mad at that person, or when we don't say that word of Lashon Hara, or when we stay true to our inner selves, then we're actually not just fixing the kas, we're not just fixing the selfishness, we're actually fixing our inner ratzon. We're refining and strengthening our inner ratzon, and that is the ultimate goal. That's what we're all driving for. So hopefully, in the small decisions that we make, we can realize those strides that we're making to develop our inner ratzon. Does that answer the Chazon Ish?
Yeah.
All right, somewhat. For today, it's okay. We'll manage. Okay.
Zone.
Yes.
If you're not practically doing it yet.
I would think so. And I would think why is Rav Kook writing this? Why does he spend so much time writing it? Because I think part of the challenge is where we started on point two, which is that we're so busy, we don't recognize the ratzon. So the first thing is just to say, recognizing the ratzon, that itself is a big goal. That's huge. Right? Because that's really what this whole paragraph, this whole chapter of Ravolbi has been about. It's been about coming back to the fact that we should have a ratzon. And what is our inner ratzon? Right? And that's something that we talked about in previous weeks in terms of digging within ourselves to figure out where our ratzon comes from. Like, what is it about me that motivates me to do the things that I'm doing? So the idea of having a ratzon is for sure, I would say, is for sure a crucial component here, and it's a major key. And that's why he devotes so much time to having a ratzon, which just getting together for a half hour on a Monday morning to say that we have a ratzon, it's kedai just for that. Because that reorients everything that we're doing. All the little decisions that we make are going to be reflections. That's something Rav Volbi said in the previous page, are going to be just expressions of that ratzon. All right. So we are not going to meet next week, but Emir Tzashem, we will reconvene the